Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can enter the house of our Lord on this day and offer him praise and thanksgiving for all of the good things that God has done. A special welcome to anyone who is new to St. John's and visiting with us today. We're pleased to have you present amongst us, and a welcome, as always, to all those who join us on the live stream. We're glad that you are with us as well. So that I can set down my bulletin. Because I will forget otherwise. The first announcement has to be a welcome to Minna, who is playing the organ this morning. Olivia has been sick all week with the flu, and so we had to reach out to Minna late in the week to come and help us with music this morning, and we're pleased that she was able to do so. She will be back on Christmas Eve, so we look forward to welcoming her then as well. And speaking of Christmas Eve, there will be, of course, the usual cast of thousands on Christmas Eve this year. We're looking forward to having the Riverdale String Ensemble and Friends with us again this year. And they will begin playing at 6:30 on Christmas Eve. December 24th, and then the service will begin at 7, and so we are planning it looks like a wonderful service for this year, so we encourage all to attend and find a friend and bring them along too. They will be glad that they were here. And likewise, this evening at 7 o'clock, we will be having our service of lessons and carols with guest choirs from both Trinity Anglican, our neighbors down the street, and Knox St. Paul's, our former neighbors down the street, and now a little bit further out on 12th Street. We're pleased to have both choirs joining with us. So again, it will be a great evening of music, special for the Christmas season. And we encourage you to be here. Most people now probably have received their new offering envelopes. If you take offering envelopes, they have been in the McClellan room for the past several weeks. But if you have yet to get your envelopes and you are an envelope user, they are still there for you. And a very important announcement this year. Please, please, please dispose of any old envelopes that you may have lying around your house. Because this year we did a rationalization of the envelopes, as many people have moved to electronic giving. And so we've been trying to order no more than we have to of envelopes. And so we've reassigned all of your numbers. I can almost guarantee that your number, if you get an envelope, will be new in 2026. So as a result of that massive change here to make life just oh so much easier for the counters on a Sunday morning, if you would get rid of your old envelopes, that would be really helpful. And with that, that is our announcements for this morning. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. I invite you to stand as you come into the presence of our Lord this morning. Jesus says, "I am coming soon."
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Look, the young woman is with child.
She will call him Emmanuel. God is with us.
Let us worship God. Let us pray. Living God, as we gather this day in your presence, we pray that you will restore us, that you will let your face shine upon us, and that we will be saved. For you are our great shepherd, the God who made us and loves us, the God who knows us by name, the God who believes in our worth and value. So restore us, loving God. Restore us to an understanding of your glory and creative power. Restore us to an understanding that we matter to you. Restore us to a belief that we are the people of your flock. These are the prayers of your faithful people down through the ages, and these are our prayers today, offered up in and through the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be one God, now and forevermore. Amen. And as we enter into worship this day, we come in praise for all the good that God has done and is doing. Our hymn of praise is number 141 in the Book of Praise, Good Christians All Rejoice, hymn number 141, or as it appears before you on the screens. Please be seated. The life of faith is not only about being faithful to God. It is knowing that God is faithful to us. Trusting that God will never turn away from us. Let us tell the truth about our lives as we come this morning confessing our sins. The prayer of confession is a unison prayer and will appear before you on the screen. Lord God, you are both tender and mighty, a shepherd in whom we can trust. You call to us and gather us in. Still, we fear the world around us and fail to seek your help when we are lost. Still, we struggle stupidly against you, refusing your comfort and ignoring your commands. Renew us and restore us, Lord of hosts. Show us the light of your face, that we may be saved. Amen. Friends, hear this good news. There is nothing and no one that is too far gone for God to redeem. There is no land too parched that God cannot make streams of living waters flow. Beloved, hear this good news and rejoice. In Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. And as God forgives us, we are to be forgiving one of another. And so I invite you now to turn to those who are near you and to greet them with the sign of the peace of Christ. And may the peace of Christ be with you all. And as we prepare for the candle lighting, let us sing the hymn that goes along with the candle lighting this year, Hope is a Star. The hymn is number 119 in your Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screen.
We light these candles as a sign of the coming light of Christ, who came to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire, and who is coming again to reign in glory. Keep awake, therefore, and be ready, for the Lord is coming at an unexpected hour. Bear fruit worthy of repentance, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Go and tell what you have seen and heard. The poor receive good news, and the dead are raised to new life. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, God with us. Prepare the way of the Lord.
Well, Ainsley, you guys want to come up this morning? Otherwise, I have to tell this story to Georgia. And Georgia's here, so yeah. Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Good. Do you like waiting?
No.
No? Me neither. Waiting's hard, isn't it? Sometimes we have to wait for a short time. Like maybe you need some help from your mom or your dad and they're busy doing something. And so you'll just have to wait, right? Maybe you're waiting for, I don't know, for grandma to come and visit. So you're all excited, but you have to wait till she gets there, right? Or till you go to grandma's house. Maybe you're waiting. Oh, what would you be waiting for, Ainsley? You're waiting for Christmas. Waiting for Christmas is hard, isn't it? Oh, I know. There are presents under the tree already. And you know what that means, don't you? You want to shake them and you want to find out what's in them, right? And that's all this time that we've spent here. And we've been lighting, I don't know which side of the candle. I'm going this way, Alex. We've been lighting the Advent candles each week. And each week we count down the wait. Advent is a season of waiting and of preparing for the coming of Jesus and for Christmas and all of the things that that entails. And so we lit all of our candles today. So what's that mean? Willem, you just said it. That means there's four more days until Christmas and Jesus comes, and we can really celebrate. So that's what we're waiting for. On Christmas Eve, we light the big candle to remember that Jesus is born in the manger, and the manger is there on that candle. So that's what we're all preparing for. We're all waiting for. And it's been a long wait, but we're almost there. And I think that's part of your lesson this morning, is getting ready and waiting for what's going to come. So with that, I'll let you go with Trish, and we'll see you after your lesson this morning. We look forward to hearing all that you learned downstairs. And you all can share with them all that you learned up here. Friends, let us pray. Holy God, our hope and strength, by the power of your Spirit, prepare the way in our hearts for the coming of your word, so that we may see the glorious signs of your promise fulfilled. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The first reading for this morning is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 7th chapter. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and she shall bear a son and call him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted. The second reading is from Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth.
Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir out your might and come save us.
Restore us, O God. Let your face shine, and we may be saved. You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure.
You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Reading is taken from Paul's epistle to the Romans, the first chapter. I, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to call God's beloved in Rome, who are called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm fairly certain our next hymn is new, because I know I've never picked it before here, and I suspect nobody else has before me. So those who like to follow music, you do have a copy of it in the bulletin. The words will appear magically on the screen before us. And indeed, if we can have maybe the first verse up on the screen, Roy, there we go, so that we can just have a brief moment of preaching. Minna, would you play the first line of the hymn? Got that? He came down that we may have hope. Okay? Do you know what the next line sounds like? He came down that we may have hope. It just kind of goes up a tone, and then it goes up again. He came down that we may have hope. But it's the same line. Hallelujah forevermore. that's all there is to it, friends. So as you grow in comfort with the hymn, please join us in the singing. And look, oh, that's it. That's it. We're going to stop singing now. Please be seated. And I was going to say, and look, somebody rearranged the verses so that they go along with the whole, the Advent candles, hope, joy, love, and peace and love, rather than as they were printed on the sheet of paper before you. My apologies for a little bit of confusion this morning. This was easier to photocopy. And that's what happened. Friends, the gospel lesson for this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 1. We will read verses 18 to 25. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and they named him Jesus. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Too often, I think, it is all too easy for us to lose sight of the greatness of God's saving actions on behalf of all creation. And that myopia takes many different forms. For some, or at certain times, because, you know, we kind of flip back and forth sometimes on this, but for some, or at certain times, we see God's saving work from a strictly personal point of view. Our faith is about our personal relationship with God and Jesus Christ, and we lose sight then of the others that Christ came to save. At other times, we become so focused on the other the world at large and how God comes to save creation, the people of other faiths or the secular, we become focused with on people of other faith or on secularism of our age, and we become so transfixed on these things that on the horizon that we forget that God is immediate and personal for us. So it's the other side of that coin. And then there are still other times. Times like these busy and hectic days around Christmas, when we become so fixated on all of those things that we have to do that we forget the great drama of salvation, which, like a golden thread, runs through the entire warp of human history. I was reminded of this reality throughout the week as I kept coming back again and again to the story of Joseph that we hear this morning in Matthew's gospel. At one level, the story of Joseph and Mary recorded here by Matthew is an intensely personal and immediate story, isn't it? It is a story of two people who have been betrothed to be married and of Joseph's discovery that Mary is with child. It seems to be a story of betrayal and of broken promises, of suspicion and shame. It is the story of an ancient event, and yet all too personal for each of us, I'm sure, for who here does not know what it feels like to be disappointed by another or to have trust broken? And so, you can be excused if you miss the fact that Joseph only learns about this reality through an angel speaking to him, as though that happens to us on a regular basis. Or, as you listen to this story today, on this, the last Sunday of Advent, the Sunday before Christmas, you might be tempted just to nod and say, "Ah, yes, finally. The Christmas story. I've been waiting all Advent long for him to get around to telling us the Christmas story." And like those things that we walk past each day in our homes, the creaky hinge or the pile of papers over in a corner waiting to be filed away, we grow oblivious to the details that exist in the story. And the detail this week that came into clearer focus for me was just five words. No angel visitation stuff or expression of disappointment by Joseph. Just a passing remark made by Matthew, our storyteller. Joseph being a righteous man. In the grand scheme of things, these words almost slip by unheard in the story, don't they? Matthew writes, "Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, before they had lived together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly." Did you hear them? They're almost tucked away in the story. So why are they so important? These words are important because they extend this narrative beyond the particular event of which Matthew writes and into the greater story of the people of God. "Have we heard those words before?" the minister asked expectantly. "Thank you. I got a couple of nods with that. That was very good. Who? Who in Scripture is you? Are those words used to describe. Well, several times, actually, during Scripture, the great story of salvation and of God's reaching out to his people that are compiled for us in Holy Scripture, characters are introduced to us as righteous people. When we first meet Noah, the author of the book of Genesis says, Noah was a righteous man. When we first meet Abraham, Abraham is defined as being righteous. And now, Joseph. With those words, Joseph joins this great pantheon of those who were chosen by God to become a great actor in the drama of salvation. While we honor Mary and join our voices and sing her Magnificat, we should not relegate Joseph to the sidelines of salvation history, which I think far too often Joseph is relegated to. Indeed, I may have done that myself in a previous sermon. You didn't hear that. But just like Noah and Abraham, Joseph has been chosen by God to fulfill this role. That is what those words mean. That Joseph is not accidental to this story. He is irreplaceable in it. Just before the text that we read today lies the genealogy of Jesus, told through the lineage of Joseph. Now, I've been in ministry a long time. I don't think we've ever read the genealogies of Jesus as they're recorded in either Matthew or Luke in worship on a Sunday morning, and I therefore preach on it. And I'm sure that lay readers such as Doug are grateful that they do not have to read the genealogy with all of those biblical names, generation upon generation upon generation, all the way back to Adam. But those names are important. The genealogy is important. They're there for this reason, that like this description of Joseph as being righteous, the genealogies also tie the birth of Jesus into this great promise of Scripture that starts way back when, that begins the moment after the fall and moves through the people of God generation after generation. Kings and prophets, all the way up to this very moment as Matthew sits with his pen in hand and writes, Joseph was a righteous man. They are the promises of the covenants that God made with Noah, the covenant that God made with Abraham, the promise that existed in the hope of the people of God and was embodied by the kingship of David in the Old Testament. All are found right here in this first chapter of Matthew's gospel. Now, I know what you're asking. Robert, what does it mean to be righteous? It's not a word we use much anymore. Saw a little clip this week from the movie Airplane back in the day. Yes, Airplane back in the day. It was just remade this year, and I didn't go to see it. But back in the day, and but if you remember back in the day, there are two African American passengers on the plane, and they speak jive. And June Cleaver gets up and speaks to them in jive. That's the joke. But that's probably the last time that we use the word righteous was in that kind of parlance, in that particular parlance of jive speak of the 70s. And someone would refer to you as being a righteous brother. Not to be confused with the righteous brothers. That's a different story. Thank you for laughing. But what does it mean to be righteous in Scripture? To be righteous in Scripture means that we are willing to give up self to follow the promise of God. Noah was a righteous man, and God called Noah to suffer the abuse and the indignity, the taunting and the teasing of his neighbors, as Noah in the middle of the wilderness builds his ark and waits for the water to come. Abraham receives the promise of God when he is an old man, to leave his land and the family that he had and to set off on his own. Abraham and his aged wife along with him that had no family of their own, no children to take on and carry forth any promise that was going to be made. But Abraham left it all behind in the hope that God would be faithful to his promise. And here this morning in the story of Joseph, Joseph is not just learning news and taking it in like we might if we were, for those who still remember the party line, listening in to the conversation on the telephone. No. Joseph has been selected by God and is told these things that he will, because God knows that Joseph will place the plans of God before himself and that he will follow the promise and ensure that the promise lives on. The amazing thing as we read Scripture and delve into it is that throughout the great history of salvation, God has chosen our best. God has chosen our righteous brothers, our Noahs and our Abrahams and our Josephs and many, many others. So that to save the creation from our very worst. But as we reach this point of the gospel story, what we discover is our best, as good as it might be, is not quite good enough. Man's best, humanity's best, will not suffice, but God's best will. And so the promise that we are given is that God now sends his own Son, Jesus, into the world, that our sin may be washed away and that we may once more live in the presence and the glory of our God. It is the continuation of the great promise of hope that begins at the very beginning of Scripture and runs through to its end, to its ultimate conclusion. And as we do that, and as we gather these days to prepare for Christmas, that is truly what we prepare for. To work alongside God in the carrying out of God's will here in this world, that the suffering and the injustice of our world may fall away, so that at the end we may achieve God's peace with God's help. It is, as it has always been, God seeking out righteous people to be his partners in the salvation of the world. It is, as we sing in the Christmas carol, not this morning, come back tonight. I think it's in tonight. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. There you go. That's your commercial. As we sing in that verse of O little town of Bethlehem, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. It is bigger than just a day in the calendar. It's bigger than just the frenetic week that lies before many of us. It is indeed God's ultimate plan for us and for all creation being played out before our very eyes. May we respond with faithfulness, and may God find us righteous as he seeks to bring his kingdom of peace here on earth. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our confession of our affirmation of faith for this morning is part of a confession that was developed in 1967 by our brothers and sisters of the Presbyterian Church USA, and it speaks of God's faithfulness. Let us read these words together. God expressed love for all humankind through Israel, whom God chose to be a covenant people to serve him in love and faithfulness. When Israel was unfaithful, God disciplined the nation with judgment and maintained the covenant through prophets, priests, teachers, and true believers. These witnesses called all Israelites to a destiny in which they would serve God faithfully and become a light to the nations. The same witnesses proclaim the coming of a new age and a true servant of God, in whom God's purpose would be realized. Amen. All things in heaven and on earth belong to God, who is coming in glory to reveal a new creation. Let us offer our lives to the Lord as we present to him our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Eternal God, as we wait for the fulfillment of your reign, use these gifts and the gifts of our lives to bring justice to those who are oppressed, to set free those who are in prison, to lift up those who are bowed down, and to uphold those who are vulnerable. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, as you came to your servant Joseph while he was asleep, so too you continue to come to us in surprising ways. Help us to be open to your presence and to await your promptings and your calling in our lives, guiding us in your pathways of righteousness and truth. Ever-present God, as your blessing rested on an ordinary man, so we give you thanks that you still call ordinary people to do extraordinary things in your name. As we look around us here, we, your ordinary people in this place, become conscious of your blessing to us. So let your blessings uphold the work of this congregation to enliven the gospel that we proclaim, that it may change the hearts of people that we may come to know you more dearly and live in the shadow of your love. We pray for our sister churches around the world, that they may withstand the challenges that they face with from the effects of climate change to living as minorities in the midst of other religions and creeds. God of peace and love, as your servant Joseph was bewildered at the magnitude of his calling, let your blessing rest on all who have big responsibilities, which they deal with on our behalf. We pray for our elected officials, that they may set aside partisan strivings to work on behalf of the good for all people. We pray for doctors, nurses, and other medical and care providers as they seek to bring healing and dignity to those in their care. Living God, you called your servant to leave Nazareth and journey to Bethlehem, the Bethlehem of then and the Bethlehem of now, in Palestine, in the West Bank, where the people are fearful, much more fearful than Joseph and Mary would have been going to a Roman-occupied town. And so we pray this day for all who live in fear, for those in Gaza and the West Bank, in Yemen and Ukraine, in Syria and Sudan. God of constancy and faithfulness, your promises are true, just as Joseph and Mary found when Jesus was born. Help us to trust your promises for healing and wholeness, strength and renewal, peace and comfort. Today we pray for all who are sick or who are bereaved, and those who are struggling with the difficulties of this life. Faithful God, as we remember Joseph, so we bring to mind all the saints and heroes of the past, those who figure highly in our own lives. Be with them and hold them secure in your care until one day we are all united as one in your eternal kingdom. God of Joseph, God of us all, God of then, God of now, God in angels' visions and God in quiet presence, guide us and guard us in all that we do. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. who taught his disciples to pray in this manner: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning's closing hymn is number 139 in the Book of Praise. Hark, the herald angels sing, hymn number 139, or as it will appear before you on the screens. Now, as you go from this place, go and prepare the way of the Lord. May the God of peace make you holy, the power of the Spirit sustain you, until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.